Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
That's a carnal weapon. Oh, I give him a piece of my mind. You've done that several times. You're running out of mind. So telling somebody off is not a spiritual weapon. But our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty, mighty through God. What do? They pull down strongholds. You may be seated. I want to review this very quickly because it is something that I want everybody that comes to Living Way with regularity to ascertain and understand. Psalm 78:61, and he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. That's talking about the Ark of the Covenant in the hands of the Philistine. But it is a principle that God has allowed his strength, his creations, to be in the hands of flesh. Flesh is called the enmity of the spirit. And God has allowed that. And that's the reason why we have what we have. When a child is born and it doesn't have any limbs, don't say, well, God sent this baby specially. No, that's not the reason that happened. That happened because there is an enemy that attacks us. And he would like every one of us to be malformed. He would like every one of us to be sick. He would like every one of us to be dead. That's the devil. And so when you blame God for things like tornadoes, hurricane, cancer, car wrecks, you're blaming God for something that he had nothing to do with. How would you like it if every time something happened bad, you were the blame? It's what you got kids for, to blame them. You know, Becky, we don't have a lot of kids around now, and she knows what she does, so I don't have nobody to blame. I got to take the blame myself. It's a terrible way to live. It was so much better when I could blame Pastor Sean, Pastor Brandon. Now I got to take the blame. Seriously, it is a real affront to God to blame bad things on him. He's delivered his strength into captivity. We have it in the flesh. And the things that are going on are either because of the devil or because of man that is submitted to the devil. So don't blame God for bad things. Well, I think God's trying to show me something. No, he's not. When God wants to show you something, he takes you to the Word of God. He doesn't give you a cancer. He doesn't give you leukemia. He doesn't make you blind. He doesn't make you deaf. Those things happen because of the fall of man in the garden. But God doesn't do bad things. He's a good God all the time. All the time. And so when I hear people on television talking about God doing this and God created this earthquake, 50,000 people dead because of that earthquake. That's not God. God is not doing that. The God I serve is a good God. And so worship, when we worship, it does so many things when we weaponize our worship. You see, I'm not just talking about you lifting a hand or singing a chorus in this building. I'm talking about a worship becoming a part of you. Put off the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise. It becomes something you wear every day. Like the credit card says, don't leave home without it. You become a worshiper in all things because when you do, it has so much effect. I've talked to you a little bit about it, what it does to the devil. It executes God's word and God's judgment on the devil. It also releases angelic powers and angelic persons, angels themselves, into our lives when we worship God. But I want to talk today, and I've got just a few minutes, but I can do this in just a few minutes. There are lots of things that affect us negatively, but I want to talk about what I see from the scripture and what I see from pastoring all of these years and dealing with three things that literally cause people to be destabilized, to be mentally ill, to be diseased. David said, when I hold my voice, when I'm quiet, he said, my bones exceedingly are old. Old age is a terrible thing, but it gets all of us. But it can be delayed and it can be harnessed if we learn certain things in our life. So the number one thing that I see in people's lives, and you're going to say, I don't see this. It's a very subtle thing. It's covetousness, to covet. To covet. Say, oh, what is that? It's saying, I wished I had their life. I wished I had their wife. I wished I had their husband. I wished I had their car. I wished I had their job. I wished I had their education. You know why that's so bad? It takes you out of the role that God has assigned you to. You are who you are because God did what? He created you in His image. And there's not another one like you. You know, one of my favorite preachers, and I won't call his name, he's my age, and I've known him for 40 years. He preached in the old building. He was such a marvelous preacher. He's a great guy. He has the most wonderful ability to be humorous while he's taking you through the scriptures. And I still know him, and I see him occasionally. He's not nearly as good as he used to be. And I watched him preach. And I said, why is he not near as good as he used to be? And I could tell who he was trying to emulate. Pastor and senior Kenneth Hagin was amazing. Amazing on faith. But he mentored this young man. And this guy was so good. And when he died, this young man tried to take his place. He tries to preach just like Pop Hagin did. He tries to laugh just like he did. He tries to act just like him. He wants to be Pop Hagin. Hey, God decided the world didn't need Pop Hagin anymore. That's the reason he took him out. But he didn't decide that he needed this guy. The world, he left him here. He don't want him to be a copy of Pop Hagin. He wants him to be himself. You are the most important person you can be. And when you try to be somebody else, you discredit yourself and discredit what God put on this earth. You are amazing. There's nobody like you. And when you look around and try to be like somebody and have what somebody else, I've been so blessed. But you could look at somebody else and say, well, they're more blessed. They're a better preacher than you are. They got more money than you are. They're better looking than you are. Oh, I doubt that. They're better looking than you are. They're taller than you. They're stronger than you are. I don't compare myself to anybody. I am what God created. I'm doing the best I can with what God gave me, and that will give you peace of mind. That's one of the eroding effects of television and movies. You look on the screen and say, oh, I want to be like them. I want to sing like she does. I want to sing like he does. I want to be like them. That is an affront to God. You are an amazing creation, and your prayer every day should be, God, make me the best me I can be, and that's what I'm working on every day. And somebody said, well, you ain't going to get no better. You're 73. That's what you say. I say I'm going to get better at 73 than I was in 7. I'm working on me every day. I'm not trying to be like Brother Jerome. I'm not being Brother Percy, man, you should have been here for his funeral. It was amazing how many people came. But I'm not trying to be like, he had something that made people love him. I'm real concerned about my funeral. I want it to be really big. I've been going to some preacher's funerals that if you live long, the longer you live, the smaller your funeral gets. If you want a really big funeral, die real young. But I want to live long and still have a big funeral. But I can't be that Brother Percy. He had his own little gift that got into people's heart. You can't be like somebody else, but you can be amazing. There's nobody like you. But when you covet things and traits that other people have, that's an affront to God. And you know what it is? It makes you miserable. It makes you miserable. You remember the devil hates you. You know that, don't you? It don't matter if you're a drug addict, he still hates you. It don't matter if you're in prison, he still hates you. The devil's going to hate you whether you serve him or not. And God's going to love you whether you serve him or not. So I decided to serve the one that's going to love me, and he's going to love me regardless. Amen? Praise God. And so I don't want to be like anybody else. But the devil wants you to be so disenchanted with who you are and so depressed with who you are that you'll be miserable all the days of your life. You ought to get up on and say, thank God I'm me. And I'm going to be a good me today. I'm going to be the best me that I ever had. See, here we are. We look at the psalmist David, and I really glean a lot from his life. I'm amazed with him. I'm amazed how he can kill the lion, the bear, the Goliath. I'm amazed how he can be the king of Israel. I'm amazed how the writer in the New Testament could say he was after God's own. I'm amazed by him. But when David looked around, he said, this is what I did. He said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish. David said, I want to be somebody else. He said, I saw people, and I thought, they got it better than I do. They got it better than I do. I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You ever just see how much money some people make? Some of these athletes, like $50 million a year or something. Does that bother you? I know a lot of people that are bothered by how much other people make. That's never affected me at all. The rodeo's been going on. There's a little cowgirl. She used to be a Miss Rodeo. She's 49 years old now, so they gave her a little job there, and she does that. And when I'm watching people, I do a little search on them. Who are they? Where did they come from? Where was they born? Who are they married to? And then net worth. So I'm thinking, here's a little girl, and they're paying her about $300 a week to do this. And when I looked at how much she had, they pay her not for that job. She's got a job with the equine industry, Dow Chemicals, the one that serves horses. They pay her $5 million a year. I said, wow. But I didn't want to be a rodeo queen. I was glad she was making $5 million a year. I'm happy for her. But David said, I wasn't. He said, when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, I was envious. He said, I want to be like that. Now, that's the psalmist David. But then he said, but I went to the house. It's so important you come to the house of God. You come to the house of God for the same reason you go to the doctor to get an adjustment, to get your medicine. Well, your medicine here is not penicillin. It's the Word of God. And it's supposed to be that I increase your appetite for the Word of God. And you don't just take in the Word of God I give you. You go home and you've got an appetite. When I hear Pastor Brandon preach, I don't just hear what he's preaching. It just causes all kinds of things in my mind. You should have been here Wednesday night. Wednesday night was off the chart. I mean, it was powerful. Praise God. Come on Wednesday night. You'll be blessed, I promise you. Wasn't any preaching, but the power of God was so strong in this place, you could cut it with a Bible. I mean, it was strong. Praise God. And so what you've got to realize is that we are not to be envious or covetous. It will ruin your life. David said, I went to the sanctuary. When I went to the sanctuary, it totally changed my mind. There's a reason why David prays seven times a day. He had weaponized his worship, and he was dealing with some problems he had. Every one of us have got our own problems. Things that bug you don't bother me at all. Things that bug me don't bother you at all. We just don't care. It's just not a big problem. But something just began to grind on you. Just grind on you. One of the greatest preachers I ever knew. He was a great preacher, still is. A wonderful preacher, and I knew him well. We were in a big camp meeting, and there was a guy that wasn't a very good preacher, but he could play a tambourine just amazing. And he was playing the tambourine. And this great preacher said, that guy bugs me. I looked at him. I said, are you kidding me? He said, that tambourine drives me nuts. I said, that tambourine's his weapon of praise, brother. Leave him alone. I said, he's not near the preacher. And right, we're sitting right there in worship. I gave him a little sermon. I said, forget that, brother. I said, the devil's trying to take away from what you are by getting you to hate on somebody else. The devil will do that. David said, I had that problem. But he said, I went to the sanctuary, And when I saw their end, I said, thank God I am not that prosperous sinner. I am David the psalmist.